How many of y'all glad to have church tonight? Oh, man. Well, I want to offer a prayer of thanks. I thank each and every one of y'all. Thank you for taking your time for showing up and listening to what God is going to do. And I want you to know, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're extremely important to Jesus and he loves you deeply. And I want you to know, if you're yet to believe, that Jesus Christ loves you deeply. And tonight, guess what? He died on a cross and he's risen from the grave, and he wants everybody in this place to come to know him. Is that not amazing? In fact, when I look through the eyes of Jesus, he wants everybody in Mount Sterling to go to heaven. Isn't that neat? Now, if you have some preachers, there's some of my colleagues, they think that Jesus has set this group over and this group over here, and that's because they hadn't read the rest of the Bible. And the Bible says that God desires that no one perish. So I want you to hear God's attitude is that no one perish. And so I preach so those who are drawn to grace might be saved. So if you are saved, one of the things I do every day is I thank God for saving a wretched dude like me. Amen. How many of y'all thank God that you're saved? And some of you, I don't want to pick on anybody, but some of you have grown up in the church and you've been around a church so long, you've forgotten to be appreciative of being saved. Isn't that wild? Am I going off? Oh, wow, it's an alarm. I was supposed to get up at that time this morning, but I forgot the difference between a.m. and p.m. Maybe that's an alarm from the Lord telling us we better wake up and get on it because the a.m. has dawned. Amen. And so I thank you guys for being here. And tonight, I just kind of want to do a quick review. We looked at Jesus is willing to welcome any type of person. He welcomed a very rich person named Zacchaeus, a political tyrant, who really a political crook. And I know we don't have political crooks in Mount Sterling. I know y'all don't have any of those. And we don't have any in Bowling Green. And surely we hadn't elected any as a senator from the state of Kentucky, or we hadn't sent any up to office. And I'm glad to know that our president has always told the truth and never, yeah. Any of them. But you know what? Guess what God says about all that? Why don't you come to me and let me forgive you and give you a new life? Isn't that amazing? No matter who it is. And so I hope that you have felt that welcoming spirit of God. Now, if you yet to give your life to God, some of you may be like I did. I'd listen to preaching and I'd go, ah, no way that can be. And then finally, one day, I realized, way that can be. And so I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ when I was a 9-year-old boy. Rollin S. Burhans, God rest his soul, he's in a great cloud of witnesses, and he told me I was missing the mark. And he asked me if I'd have sinned. And I said, Dr. Burhans, I've sinned. I've told lies. I've not done what my mom and dad told me to do. That was at 9 years old. Jesus went ahead and saved me, even though he knew the list was going to get worse later. Huh? I want to tell you how I got radically changed. I got saved at 9 years old. Jesus Christ entered into my life. And then I realized the fullness of Jesus Christ, the absolute reality of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. I kind of grew up in a sophisticated church. Anybody grew up in a sophisticated church? I grew up with a bunch of nice church people. And they had good morals. And they preached against drinking beer. I didn't hear much about the cross, but I heard about not drinking beer. And if not drinking beer would save you, you know. But if that's the gospel, there's a lot of people going to hell. That's all I can tell you, all across the world. And the gospel's much deeper than our shallow morality. Because even our morality is as filthy rags to the righteousness of God. True? And so, but I heard this old preacher. I went to this place called Camp Cedarmore. Thank God for Kentucky Baptist. They had this camp up there called Camp Cedarmore. I don't even remember this preacher's name. I just remember this dude was big, and he had big hair. A dude had big hair on top of his head, and he's from Mississippi, and he opened the Word of God, and I'd never heard the Word of God preached like that. He preached it word for word, verse for verse, and he told me that I was a sinner headed to hell without the grace of Jesus Christ.
He talked about the cross of Jesus Christ, the bloody cross of Jesus Christ, and the power of the resurrection. And I guess I just needed somebody that could bulldog it to me before I got it. And guess what? I totally changed. I was 15 years old, and I walked out in the woods by myself, and I wasn't usually by myself, and I was by myself. And I said, God, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not living like I'm supposed to live, and I'm starting to walk down a road that I know is not going to be a good road. I was walking down a road that my mama was praying against. I was walking around down a road that my daddy had highly told me not to go down those roads. I was starting to head down those roads, and God put the brakes on my life. How many of y'all glad to know that we got a God that'll find us? Anybody glad to know that we got a God that'll find us? Is anybody glad to know that Jesus is going to do his thing whether we do ours or not? Amen? And so tonight, I'm not asking you to get all excited about Jesus. I'm asking you to really embrace who he is. I mean, really be who he made you to be. And I'm challenging you. Do you all believe everybody in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, since we're located right here, could come to know Jesus? Y'all believe that? Okay, then I'm going to challenge you. Let's start doing something about it. Let's tell people about Jesus. And I'm going to show you tonight, let's tell them in a non-obnoxious way. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. We've screamed and yelled at sinners. That doesn't seem to be working. Amen. We use words that they absolutely don't understand. Can you imagine being around church people and listening to them talk and you've never been to church? They go, I've been redeemed in the blood. These people are weird. Sanctified by the Holy Ghost, they believe in ghosts. It sounds like Halloween. Maybe we need to just start telling people about the love of Jesus, the importance of Jesus. Quit speaking in King James language. Quit speaking Baptist language. Quit speaking living church language. And let's just start telling them who Jesus really is. Let's quit speaking in a way that they don't understand, and let's start speaking to them in a way that they understand, because I'm telling you, Jesus loves all people. Amen? Amen. So John, you know, you're going to have some unique gifts. You can speak Jesus through chemistry. That ain't my assignment, I can tell you that, brother. And each one of you got a unique gift. If you don't mind, just look at the person near you, around you, and just go, you got a unique gift. Go ahead, try that out. Girl, you got a unique gift. Isn't that cool? And you got a unique gift. And you got a unique gift and cool hair. So you see what I'm saying? God does all kinds of cool things. All right, let's pray together. Jesus, I ask you tonight to find us, wherever that might be. We might be in good standing with you. We might be standing against you. We might even be wondering if you're true, if you're real. But Jesus, I ask one thing through the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, that you would find us, that you would find us. Church, would you agree with me in the power of the Holy Spirit that God would find us? Let Jesus find you tonight. Amen? All right. What happens when Jesus finds you? Everything changes. And so you know what we're really doing in the world? Watch this. Have y'all ever heard this? Those of you that grew up in the church, these preachers would say, now go out there and win the world. Here's the problem with that. We don't have the power to do that. Amen. Here's the power we have. Let's go into the world and tell them who won. Yes. Now check this out. Now I'm going to talk, this is very hypothetically, okay? We're going to use our imaginations for just a minute. Can you imagine 2 weeks ago when the University of Kentucky played the University of Florida? If the University of Kentucky, if it had been possible, which I believe all things are possible with Jesus, but I think for this particular game it will take Jesus. If the University of Kentucky had beaten the University of Florida, I mean, it's bad enough. Now, listen, I'm a little bit of a UK fan because I have a daughter that's blue. But then I have a son that's a red hilltopper, so I'm a little split between the red and the blue. But if, watch this, it was bad enough and they didn't win. This is the way UK football fans are. We almost beat Florida. And they were excited about that. I mean, they were on, we just about got Florida. I mean, we were close. We almost got them. I mean, it was almost like a win. It was a moral victory. You know what you call a moral victory? Loss. But can you imagine, Pastor Grant, if they had won, what would Living Water Church had been talking about on Sunday morning? UK, there it is, right there. Right there. And it would sound like this. Unbelievable. We beat the Gators last night. We crushed them. UK, we're going to win a national championship. No, I'm not. That would be the talk. I've been around Kentucky fans. They are the only people that fill a stadium for a losing team. I mean, Alabama, they're mad that they've lost one game in the last 5 years. They're still talking about the game they lost. You know, they're telling Saban, how in the world could you let a bunch of Buckeyes come down here and beat us? I mean, it's like they lost the Civil War or something. You know what I mean? It's a football game. But if we had won, oh, we'd have been going crazy, wouldn't we? I mean, crazy. Hold on. We have won. We have won. Jesus Christ has won. I don't know. I don't know. I hope you were there on Easter Sunday morning this year. Because on Easter Sunday morning, once a year, we take one whole Sunday and we declare this. Jesus won! That's what that Sunday's all about. He's risen from the grave. Life is at hand. Now, if you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 15. And if you don't have your Bibles, please don't feel guilty. Just listen to the Word of God. Now, an episode is taking place. I have taken you to Jesus' life this week instead of pontificated to theology realities. I can do all that stuff, but let's save that for the classroom and people that have to preach. Let's talk about the real stuff among ourselves. Jesus has won. He's risen. He's alive. Anybody believe that today? How many of y'all believe that in this room? Jesus Christ got up out of the grave. Now, most folk don't, but we do. And so the first thing I want to tell you tonight, you ought to live like he is risen. Amen. And so guess what that means? As we go through struggles, let's understand we win. Yeah. One of the things we need to quit doing as Christian people in the United States of America is quit giving glory to all the things the devil is doing. Yeah. You know what the devil's doing? What he's supposed to do. Here's what the devil does. He kills, he steals, and he destroys. Guess what he's been doing for the time that he was thrown out of heaven and confined to earth? Killing, stealing, destroying. Guess what the title of his hit CD is? Kill, Steal, Destroy. And guess what song he sings? I will kill you, I will steal from you, I will destroy you. Now, after thousands of millennium, you get really bored just killing, stealing, and destroying. But that's all you get to do because that's who you are. And there is no grace, and there is no mercy, and there is no ability to create. There's no ability to change. All you can do every day is kill, steal, and destroy. God sent an antidote to his music. His name is Jesus. And instead of killing and stealing and destroying, you and I get to live a full and abundant life. We get to love. We get to joy. We get to be in peace. We get to live in passion. Let me tell you the best news. And when it's all said and done, we get to dance in heaven. Even, listen, listen, listen.
Even white people will be able to dance in heaven. Finally dance. I can tell the Holy Spirit's in this place. You know why? Y'all were in rhythm. Now you got to understand, I'm a little bit different. I pastor a y'all come church. I'm a weird guy. Well, it's a y'all come, everybody come. Not only am I a Caucasian pastor, I also pastor the largest African-American church in our city. I also pastor the largest Hispanic church in our city. And you know what? I get tickled at them. I said, no, y'all don't understand. I just pastored Jesus' church. Come on. And what y'all don't understand, I told you this last night, but I'm going to tell you again so you'll understand it. Just in case. You cannot be a racist and be a Christian. So, here's the thing. If you are racist, you know you haven't been saved. And you say, well, I confessed. Yeah, but you didn't repent. Amen. Salvation doesn't come through confession. It comes through repentance. And see, repentance means I let go of what I used to be so I can become what God will allow me to be. Amen? That's a bigger difference. Amen? Now, I want to challenge you. Has this church become everything God wants it to be yet? Ooh, I like that. Well, tell me again. Here, I ask you again. Has this church become everything that God wants it to be yet?
No.
Wow. But guess what we are going to do? We're going to welcome everybody.
Amen.
I don't care what color they are, do you?
No.
I just care they got a pulse.
Right.
Amen. Because you know why? You can't do nothing with dead people. This is true. I'm going to give you a true story. Pastor, I'm going to give you a true story. Listen, after people hear me one more night, they're going to be so thankful that you're their pastor, they won't know what to do. I had this guy call me. He needed to hear about Jesus. At the same time, I got another phone call, and one of the folks that hung out in our church, one of our members, they had died, but they were a believer. Where did I go? I went and talked to the center. My dead boy was all right. He just dead. This guy's really dead. See, this guy was shedding. This guy was dead. Now, y'all would have been mad and fire at me. Well, I think a pastor ought to be there when people are dead. Jesus wasn't.
Come on. Let the dead bury them.
His buddy, oh, he said things like that. Brother, can you imagine Jesus being a pastor? Y'all fire him immensely. You call Jesus to do a funeral. Hey, Jesus, we need you to do his funeral. Let the dead bury the dead.
Come on.
Well, Jesus, we need you to cook for us. I done made you some fish sandwiches the other day. That's it. I mean, you got to watch this Jesus fella. Let me tell you what Jesus does. He welcomes everybody no matter what. I'm going to keep going over that. And y'all go, well, you've said that all two nights because we don't welcome people. That's what we don't do. We got to welcome people. I don't watch this. Tonight, we've seen Jesus with Zacchaeus on the first night. He welcomed Zacchaeus, a rich, conniving sinner. Last night, we saw that Jesus welcomes people when they're actually caught in sin. Busted. Y'all ever seen that show, Busted? Bill, you watch that? No, it's okay. I've seen it. It's this show. It's like on one of them stupid show channels. I call them stupid show channels. And the lady or the guy, they think their partner's, you know, running around on them. Well, they get one of those private investigators, and they usually find out that their hunch is right. And they confront them. And when they confront them, it comes up on the TV, busted. Well, guess what happened to that woman last night? She got busted, and then Jesus put her back together again. Amen. How many of y'all glad to know if you busted, Jesus has got a solution? Amen. Now, guess what? Some of you ain't busted yet. And you think what you're into is going to be all right because you ain't been busted yet. Well, let me tell you what. God's long-suffering, it says in Scripture, meaning this, God will give you a period of time to repent. Amen.
But then if you don't repent, you're going to get busted. Let me help you. It is better to repent daily than it is to be busted later. Amen. You want to live in the ways of the Lord? Repent. Well, let me show you what he does today. Jesus welcomes everybody, and when others get disturbed, he doesn't care. Jesus welcomes everybody, and when others get disturbed, Jesus doesn't care. Pastor John, have you ever disturbed anybody in the church? There's an easy question, answer to that. Why? I bet you have, haven't you? Yeah, because, man, you're gung-ho. You want to see everybody saved. You're like Grant. You and Grant want to see everybody saved. Not everybody here wants to see everybody saved. Some people here, they're saved, and they could care less about anybody else. If that's your attitude, you might need to check your salvation, because that's not the Jesus that's in the Bible. The Jesus in the Bible welcomes everybody and shares with everybody. He wants everybody to have a good life. How many of y'all want everybody to have a good life? Okay, I want to start there. Now, here's what was happening. Now, the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear him. Who always wanted to hear Jesus? Sinners! And you know who the sinners were? These are people that didn't go to synagogue real well. These are people that are kind of on the edge of town. These are the people that were just having a good time through life. They taking care of their families. You know what I mean? They'd get them a little wine skin every once in a while. They'd probably throw a little dice up against Jerusalem wall. They were just good old folks having a good old time. What am I describing right now? Mount Sterling. Because what else I'm describing? Bowling Green, Kentucky. Nashville, Tennessee. Cincinnati, Ohio. Florence, Kentucky. I'm even describing Litchfield. True?
Amen.
I mean, most of us, we just kind of getting through. Be honest, yeah? I mean, most of us, how did we live our lives before Jesus? Well, Lord, I'm just going to the grocery store. Got to raise these four kids. Lord, have mercy. Hope they'll be all right. You know, every once in a while I go to church at Christmas and Easter. Jesus saved my soul. Hallelujah. Now, I don't do too much wrong. I drink privately and cuss silently. I'm a good person. Come on, listen, I'm a Kentuckian. I'm one of you. I know the game. But then there's this Jesus. Guess what? He leans us in and says, there's more to it than that. Amen? There's more to it than that. How many of y'all glad we follow a Jesus that says there's more to it than that? He welcomes sinners. Man, I'm glad Jesus welcomes sinners. By the way, welcome. Welcome. We're all sinners. No, there's folks in this room don't believe that. Some of you go, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not a sinner anymore. I listen to Christian radio. Really, you think that prevents you from being a sinner? I get so tickled, you know. You got this dude, you know, and he's listening to Christian radio, and he's been homeschooled, and he's been shielded by every possible religious method that he can be shielded, and he ends up going crazy. You know why? We're all sinners. Parents. God doesn't save schools. He doesn't save radio waves. He doesn't save books. He doesn't save movies. He saves people. There is no shelter. There's salvation, not shelter. You got to come into Christ. Jesus welcomed all these people. He hangs out with sinners. Woo! I get in trouble all the time because I'm a pastor that hangs out with sinners. You ought to hear it. Y'all ever seen them old church women wear about three girdles? I grew up with some of them. Holy. Are they holy? Now, I love them. They holy. One night I was out at a restaurant, and lo and behold, I'm at a restaurant, and I'm with some friends. And guess what those friends had at their table?
Beer.
No, not beer. These sophisticated friends. Wine. There you go. Had a glass of wine. Good. However, I do got beer-drinking friends, too. And so, yeah, so, you know, I'm hanging out with these people, and they're having a glass of wine. You know why they're having a glass of wine? They're not Baptist.
Okay.
They don't lie about theirs. No, I'm just telling you, watch this. So I got this lady comes up. Man, she madder than a hornet. I grew up with her. I grew up in a home church. She waddles over there. She said, Brother Steve, you ought to be absolutely ashamed of yourself sitting at this table where there is alcohol. I said, ma'am, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but you need to read the real Bible. Jesus ate and drank with sinners, and he loved all people, and he wasn't scared of beer and wine. You are. In fact, if you'll read on, that ain't grape juice he played with at the wedding. And the Pharisees didn't talk about him because he was hanging out with the best of the community. He was hanging out with people he loved. Now hear me clearly. So they wouldn't have to stay where they were. Did you hear that clearly? He don't go hang out to get with them. He goes and hangs out to get them. Make sense? He doesn't become like the sinners. But the sinners become like, where's that church? In fact, Pastor Grant, one of the things that I do is I challenge our staff, our people, our leaders, our congregation, all of our followers. I said, this is our challenge. Every week, we're the best party in town. Every week, we're the best party in town. In fact, I want people coming out of church on Sunday morning going, man, that was better than Saturday night. Huh? And you know what? And this is true of our reputation. We had some musicians come in town, and they were talking to some of the guys that played in some of the local clubs, and they go, where are the best musicians in this town? And they started laughing. They said, Hillview Heights Church. He said, they'll hit it. He said, in a church. He said, come on, I'll take you Sunday morning. That particular morning, God had set it up well. We had some really credible musicians. They ripped licks on those guitars. They let rhythms go on those drums that were unheard to rock and rollers. And the rock and rollers came in and said, I have never been in anything like this. I said, let me help you something, brother. I said, God's angels can outplay any devil angel. So you know what I'm looking forward to when the Christian musicians are being visited by the rock musicians because they want to learn how to do the licks that we do in church. And not the church visiting the world's musicians to figure out how to do music. And we play rock and roll. We don't do contemporary Christian. We rock. We're rock and rollers. We rock it. We thump it. We bump it. And if we're rapping, we're banging and booming. Do our old people like that music? Heavens no. But our old people are different. Our old people do not go to church to satisfy themselves because they've been there for about 70 years. And if they're not saved by now, they're not got a shot. I mean, they've heard the gospel 1,000 zillion times. You know what I mean? You know why our old people come to church? Some of them put earplugs in their ears and they laugh. You know why? They want to make sure their grandchildren go to heaven. You know why they act like that? They're saved. And they'll do whatever it takes to make sure somebody knows Jesus. Will you? Will you do whatever it takes to make sure that somebody knows Jesus? Because Jesus would do whatever it took to make sure somebody went to heaven. Let me show you his attitude. Jesus' attitude is like this. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were there too. They grumbled, saying this man receives sinners and eats with them. Man, may that be said about us. I pray that the religious in this community go, all those living water people, they'll let anybody in there. Those living water people, you know, tell them where you find them. They're out there at the ballpark late at night. They're at school events. They're at football games. Well, Lord have mercy, even one of their good power players plays in the juke joint on Friday night. They'll do anything to make sure somebody knows Jesus will save them. Amen. Man, you get churches like that going on in a nation, you'll have a different nation. Amen? And guess what? Jesus ate, man, he ate and drank with sinners. What do y'all think with that? Jesus. And people talked about him. They got on topics. Back then they just called it gossiping. They gossiped about Jesus. Now guess who gossiped about him? The established religious crowd. Why? He was more powerful than they were. And guess what? If you want to go to hell, just live in your own power. As long as you want power, you'll never receive his. So Jesus told him a story and he gave him his attitude. Pastor Grant, I want to thank you right now in front of your beautiful congregation that the Lord has given you. Thank you for having this same attitude since you were a young kid. You want somebody to be saved. I love it. Pastor John, he wants somebody to be what? If somebody doesn't get saved on Sunday, John and Grant, how do y'all feel on Monday? You know what? If I have one of those Sundays and nobody gets saved, my staff will not talk to me until about 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. We haven't seen it in a long time. Because on Sunday, I expect somebody to get saved. You know why I expect somebody to get saved? Jesus expects somebody to get saved. You know what? I expect you all to invite your friends to church. You know why? Take a guess. Jesus does. I expect you to hang out with sinners. Why? Because Jesus did. How many of y'all married a sinner? Glad my wife's not here tonight. She looked like a Pentecostal sister. And she can dance. Look at this. He told them this parable. And I want you to grab this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? You hear God's heartbeat? Girls, guess what? Jesus Christ wants to make you the most beautiful women you can be. What do you think about that? Oh, it's more than happy, my friend. Give me your first name.
Latoya.
Latoya, beautiful name. Latoya, guess what Jesus really wants you to be? I'm going to blow you away. Jesus is a king now. Okay, when he was risen from the grave, he defeated all the things that were evil, and he became king of all. You hear us sing that in songs. We call him king of, that includes presidents, and lord of. Yeah, so he's top. So, Latoya, what happens if you choose to receive Jesus' gift of salvation, cool deal, and you become a child of a king, what does that make you? I wish y'all could see her smile. Now, hold on, see, you're a princess. You see, once Jesus comes into your life, the devil knows that you are a princess. And so the devil gets nervous. He goes, oh, gosh, we got another princess. You know what princesses do? Princess Diane. How many of y'all remember Princess Diane? They don't remember Princess Diane. They're too young. But what was so magnificent about Princess Diane? She loved. And she was a knockout, too. I mean, for those of us that remember the 80s. But we thought we looked good in that high school annual too. You know what I mean? But Princess Diane had a way of what? Welcoming. What's your name, sir?
Joey.
Joey, that's a good name. Joey, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell that. So your father is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What's that make you?
Prince.
You're a prince. Valiant. Purposeful. You know what a prince of worth, guess what they do? They win battles. Man, I'm going to tell you, we need to start fighting
graciously, welcoming, being valiant. And ladies, you need to become the princess God has made you. And guess what princesses don't do? That's very unbecoming to a princess. If my wife goes, I go, hey, you're not being a princess. And then I told her this, because she's not old, but she's older. I said, honey, you a queen now. I said, and if you look at that queen over there in England, we've been looking at her all of our lives. She's been here all of our lives. You ever heard her say anything? No, because she's a queen. Can you imagine Queen Elizabeth going, meh, 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 huh? She goes, I need this. And what happens? Why? Eric, why? She's a queen. See, the church of Jesus Christ is waiting to be released if we would just get the heartbeat of God. And that comes from being filled by the power of the Holy Spirit and taking on God's attitude. What the church lacks is not another strategy. It lacks God's attitude. See, Jesus has given them an attitude. He said, what one of you, if you had 100 sheep, you had 100 sheep and you lost one of them, wouldn't you go seek that sheep until you find it? Now, here's what I want to tell you today. God wants to find you, and he wants to love you, and he wants to pick you up, and he wants to bring you home. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder rejoicing. How many of y'all realize that God rejoices in you? These boys and girls that have gotten saved this week, these men and women have gotten saved, man, through the life of this church, God rejoices. I tell you what, I love a church that's got a big old baptistry. I love a church that's got a whirlpool in its baptistry. And that's not for Grant and John to come up here and massage themselves after a golf game. Although if you watch either one of them play golf, they need to. But guess what? It is for souls to confess their faith in Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. How many of y'all got a prayer life? If you attend this church, you got a prayer life. I'm going to give you a new move in this church. All right, Grant? Is that all right? Where's my financial people? They're not going to like this. But guess what? Paint's cheap. Every one of you walks by this, Lord, put somebody in there on Sunday in the name of Jesus. Lord, let me be a part of somebody coming in here on Sunday. Let me ask somebody to get in here. Lord, give me the name of who it is. This needs to be a touch place. This needs to become the pool of Bethesda. It needs to be the place that when people come out of that water, they are filled with his power and they are changing this world. Because you know what? He going to pursue you till he finds you. Guess what some of you need to do? Just stick up your toe. Lord, here I am. I wish we'd find people like that, man. I wish we cared about the lost like that, amen. I'm going to tell you a quick story and we're going to get out of here. My wife's got this dog, a boxer. First time I ever owned a boxer. She got us a boxer dog. I said, I'd kind of like to have a boxer. Now, most of our lives I've had intelligent dogs, Labradors. I've had dogs that do things. They retrieve, they hunt, they point, they run a rabbit back around to you. Here's what this boxer does. He's truly like 90 million Americans. He sleeps all day. He eats all day. And I pay for his housing, his medical, and any other entertainment that he has. And his response to that is he sleeps on it. This dog is so bad. This dog was bad. It's a bad dog. I know it's just a bad dog. It wasn't a rescue dog, but it needed to be rescued.
It was the last dog in the litter. And my wife comes in and she goes, my wife's a beautiful blonde and real sweet woman and real gracious, so there's a better side to me. And so she brings this little puppy to me and she says, we got you a puppy. I said, is that a boxer? I said, yeah. I said, that's the runt. She said, how'd you know it's a runt? I said, look at it. I said, boxers had big heads. It's got, it looked like a little E.T. head on it. The tail's crooked. You know, it's cute. I get. She goes, I had to get it. It just looked at me. So she saved the dog. So then we bring the dog in the house. I'd never had a dog in the house. So the dog comes in the house, put the dog in the kennel. You all know the story. If you've had to go through dogs, get the dog in the kennel. It has medical problems. Was this dog about 10 o'clock? About 11 o'clock, I'm trying to go to sleep, and guess what I'm listening to? Dog down there, like sounding like it's dying. She looks at me, and she says, I think I need to go get that dog. I said, what do you mean? You going to sleep in the kennel tonight? She said, no, I think I need to bring it up here and comfort her. And I said, what's going on? A great thing has happened in our lives. Our children have left. And I hate to be offensive to any of you children, but I have not had one day of remorse over empty nests. I love my children deeply, but man, when they walked out that door, I said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I picked up the remote. I watched my TV shows without my daughter. Can I tell you how low it got? One night on a Friday night. A man like me on a Friday night's got fun things to do. My son had moved off to college. It's just my wife and my daughter and me on a Friday night. Me. And I'm watching High School Musical 2. I looked at my wife and I said, my life has hit a low point that I never thought. In fact, I was going, find me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. And we got this dog. Guess where she brings a dog? The bed. Guess where that dog's been for 8 years? In the bed. This dog lays in my spot when I get ready to come to bed. Looks at me like, you lay down over there. This dog ticks other dogs off because he walks by them and go, I sleep in the bed, do you? So if I communicate with the dog, it's very close. So my anniversary, this dog pleads me, anniversary. We celebrate an anniversary. I finally learned after 10 years of marriage to celebrate my anniversary. By the way, if any of you guys haven't celebrated your anniversary with your wife, I just want to let you know it's a good idea. Practice that. And better than deer hunting. Because if you celebrate it, you're guaranteed. Well, I'm not going there. And so here's the deal. It's on our anniversary. My daughter comes home from school. She opens the door. She lets Max out. She's going to go see her boyfriend or something like that. And the dog does not return. So I get a call at about 4 o'clock from my wife. Clacy has let Max out. I said, well, he usually comes back. He's got to eat. She goes, no, they've been calling for him for 2 hours, and he has not returned. I said, well, he's probably gone. I said, maybe he's gone to college, too. No such luck as my anniversary. I had plans. I had a nice restaurant down in Nashville. Had some plans, you know. I already had some plans. That stupid dog has crushed my whole night. So it's 4:30. It's in December. We're married December 22nd. It's in December. So this is my anniversary. So first I called my son. I said, are you working? He said, no, I just got off. I said, man, can you go put your boots on and stuff, go out there in the woods and make sure you can find. I said, that stupid Max is gone somewhere. He said, Dad, he's probably back here barking at a deer or something. I get a phone call an hour later. He said, Dad, I've walked 2.5 miles in every direction in this woods. There's no sign of this dog. Mom is going to be distraught. I said, you think you can get another dog kind of looks like it and bring it in? We pull it out. He said, no, not happening. My anniversary, 12 o'clock midnight, guess where I am? I'm in my gum rubber boots, fully dressed. It's freezing cold. I'm out in the middle of a field with a whistle. Max! 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 You stupid dog, where are you? Max didn't show up. That night, my anniversary, instead of being filled with joy, it was the sorrow of Max being gone in my tears that Max had blown the anniversary. She loved this dog. Now, I'm a little bit different. I've had hunting dogs. You know, some of them have had some accidents. They're a dog. Max was a human to her. Well, they get on this Facebook thing. My wife has to go to Nashville next day, and there's an all-out Facebook bulletin. People are all out looking for Max. I'm not talking a few people. I'm talking 100 people. It's like an Amber Alert has gone out from a dog, and all this dog does is sleep. He doesn't come, obviously, when you call him. And guess what? We get a hit on Facebook. 5 miles from the house. Back country road. Girl said she saw a brown dog go by that looked kind of like a deer. That could be him. Lord have mercy, I called my associate. I was already online. I kid you not, I was already online locating a boxer. I was ready to drive 3 hours. I found the cutest first pick of the litter, purebred, big-headed, looked like it had some sense, boxer. Max, where are you? Well, Lord have mercy. We come up on this little old house, and it was a shanty shack, and it had 3 Rottweilers out front of it. I said, well, I know he didn't get near any of them, because he's a metrosexual dog. I mean, he really is. He's metro. You know what I mean by that? I mean, his nails are trimmed. His hair's all groomed. He's never slept outside, ever, one day in his whole life. This was his first night. It's like having your first sleepover. He didn't sleep outside then. He had gotten back in their barn and laid down. So I come out, and it was a girl, and this girl, she's an interesting girl. She'd lived by herself out there for a long time, and I taught her when I taught special ed. And she came out, and she said, Brother Steve, is that you? I said, it is, Sheila. You seen that dog? Saw one about 4 hours ago. I'm like, we're not going to have a dog. Christmas is over. We're not even going to have the birth of Jesus this year. I mean, it's over. So finally I gave it one more holler. I turned around the back of the house. I said, Max, and I hear his collar. He comes barreling out of that barn. He leaps. It's the first athletic move he's made in his entire existence. He leaps sky high into my arm, starts licking my face, and I'm looking at him. I said, oh, you have saved my life. I get on the phone with me. I said, Mama, I got Max in the truck. My associate pastor was with me, and he's like a pure white man. I mean, if you met him, he's to the T dressed. You know, he's executive type. He jumped high. I'd never seen it. He and Max both jumped at the same time. I'm looking. I'm going, where did you get those? We get in the car. We come to an intersection. My wife loses her mind. At the intersection, she just stops her car, throws it in park, runs out in the middle of the intersection, runs across through cars to make sure Max is all right. You know why? She wasn't going to stop till she found him. That's how God loves you. So church, it's time for us to light up a church that'll do anything to find those who are lost. And it's time for us to quit building ministries for the 99 who are all right and start doing what Jesus' attitude was. Where's the one that's not here? And we start having churches like that, I bet we have different environments. I bet we start having different schools. I bet we start electing different people. I bet we start feeling different ways. But we got to start getting in the bushes and let Jesus find these that have wandered off. And then we must let him put them on his shoulder, because guess what he says? When this comes home, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. So just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to lovingly, as your brother in Christ, tell you this. You're all right. But is your husband, is your son, is your daughter, is your aunt, is your neighbor, is your coworker, is your best friend? I only got a few really, really, really close friends. It's hard to have close friends in the ministry. One of my close friends, my buddy, one night I had to look at him. I said, we might not be friends anymore, but I said, I want you to go to heaven with me. And I'm just checking. He'd started coming to church, and he said, brother, he said, you can't hang around you and not know that that's all you're about. Yeah. He said, by the way, I was going to tell you, you need to baptize me at the lake. Amen. He said, I've been saved and I've repented. But I can tell you this, I understand a lot more about it now than I did then. And he said, it's time for me to get real. And I said, hey, brother, I just want to go to heaven with you. I just want y'all to get that attitude. When people are going to get ticked off at us, you understand? People hate me. They hate me. They say all kinds of things about me. I'm living. You know what I do? I lay down at night, scoot Max over, cuddle mama, and sleep like a baby. Because you know what? As long as you care about somebody being saved, that shepherd, when he sends you, he walks right behind you. Amen. Now, I know there's some pretty guys in here that are pretty tough or think you're pretty tough. I ain't never met anybody tougher than Jesus Christ. What do you think about that, officer? I know you probably think you're pretty bad. You know, you got your little kung fu police officer jazz, you know, break down on arrest and all that. But hold on. I guarantee you wouldn't stretch out your arms innocent and be nailed to a piece of wood on the side of the road and die an embarrassing death naked. You didn't know that part, did you? You know what Jesus did? He killed every shaming human experience on the cross. And so I say tonight, let him find you. And listen, if something bad's happened to you, that wasn't his desire. But bad stuff happens down here. Evil stuff happens down here. Very devil-filled, evil people walk into schools and shoot other people. You know why they do that? See, the president, he doesn't have the information I have. He thinks it's guns. Because he bless his heart, he just don't know. He doesn't know why terrorists blow up nations. But I do. They are full of the devil. That's why. They're full of wretched hell evil. That's why. Yeah, that's right. People are evil
without Jesus. But then there's Jesus. Get what he does. He sits down with evil people and he says, hey, John, he sat down with you one day, didn't he?
Amen.
You was 20, wasn't you? 20-ish or 15. Yeah. He had dark hair back then.
I did.
A mullet, probably.
It was.
He said, John, I love you so much, we got to have a talk. You not living like I really made you to live. Would you believe I died on the cross? And would you believe I've risen from the grave? And would you let me take your life and bring you to heaven? And guess what you said?
Yes.
Anybody want your life to change tonight? Yes. You know how to get saved? Yes. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord. You are a Savior. Yes, Lord, I believe you died for me. And yes, Lord, I believe you alive today. I feel your Spirit. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be like I am anymore. Save me. Guess what he'll do, girls? If you ask Jesus to forgive you, you say, Lord Jesus, will you forgive me? Guess what he says? Yes.
You got it.
In all my life, I thought he was a no God. No this, no that, no, 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 no. That's the way God was preaching to me. No, 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 no. You must have gone to the same church I went to, ma'am. There was no dancing. Then I read the Bible. And the angels were grooving. They said there was no shouting. And then I read the Bible. And he said, shout unto the Lord with great joy. They told me that there was no sinner around God's church. But then I read the Bible and it talked about a Savior that ate and drank with sinners and said, come unto me. I will make you new. Can you imagine if we just let Jesus loose in Mount Sterling, what he just might do? Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Well, thank you all for taking your time to be here. I hope the Lord gave you a word tonight. Anybody get a word tonight? Anybody got, watch this. Here's what I hope happened tonight. Here's what I was praying for in the name of Jesus. If you're a believer, I hope you're convinced you need to tell somebody. And so tonight, I'm going to ask believers to come to the altar too. And I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what steeple house you're housed in. Okay, listen. It's time to get rid of these lies. There is one church. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. That's it. So I don't care what type of shirt you like to wear. See, I call these denomination shirts. You know, Baptist shirt, Methodist shirt, Pentecostal shirt, non-denominational shirt that really is the denomination. And you see what I'm saying? That's just your style. And that's okay. God's got style. But we're all in this together. Amen. And I just want you to know, the Muslims believe that. They'll cut your head off whether you're a Calvinist or an Arminianist. They'll cut your head off whether you sing praise and worship or hymns. They don't like Jesus people. You know what some of you are going to do? You're going to get quiet because you're scared. You see, if you're really saved, you can't be scared. Because in perfect love, there is no fear. For every believer in this room tonight, here's the worst thing that could happen to you.
You could quit living here on earth and reside in heaven forever. So how bad is it? If you point a gun to my head and say, you're going to lose your life. Correction. I'm going to reside in heaven. And if I take that pistol out of your hand, you're going to have some serious problems in a minute. But if you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. If you're in Christ and you're gone, you've gone on. That's why going is a part of this vision in this church. Living Water Church, you are going to heaven. Ultimately, the whole vision is we all going, Pastor John, where? To heaven. And when we get to heaven, everybody, Pastor Grant, will be loving one another as they're supposed to be. And we're going to see a gathering like we've never gathered. We're going to shake hands with Moses. We're going to watch the fiery head of Elijah. We're gonna listen to Enoch when he tells the story about how God just walked him on into heaven. I'm gonna ask Daniel. I said, Daniel, what was it like to whip a lion? He said, what was it like to text? I'm gonna tell you what, Daniel. It wasn't nothing like being here. Don't go to hell tonight. And if you're a believer, let's come and let's be church. Amen. Please, let's set the boundaries around this city. Pastor Grant, I'm on a mission. The world's done ticked me off. It's really done more than that, but we'll leave it at that in here. So I'm on a mission. I can't be like these pansy pastors who are just going to back off and huddle up and get in a little Bible study room. So scared a big bad wolf might come by and put some evil on him. See, because I know he's risen from the grave. I know he's won. I know he's in victory. I know his power is available. I know Pentecost has not stopped. I know that God's people will reign. I know that you are a prince and you are a princess, and I know God. Amen? So guess what it's time to do? I don't know about New York City. I know about Mount Sterling. Right here in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, I'd put my foot down on the cross and say, devil, you ain't going to have our city. And we pray against evil, and we pray protection, and we pray for our kids to grow well, and we want to secure our city in Jesus. That's what we're doing in Bowling Green right now. If you used to ask our church, they'd go, what's our mission? Secure the WBKO listening area. That's our local TV station. Includes Grayson County. We got Grayson County too. We're going to secure the WBKO listening area for Jesus Christ. So that's about 300,000 people. It's okay. Because we ain't going to do it by ourselves. You see, when all God's people unite, you think the Muslims have caused problems. Wait till we wake up. Wait till we go to Washington and not protest. Wait till we go pray. Wait till we look and say, Mr. President, you might want to rethink that. Because I'm fixing to have about 1 million people in this nation pray for God's will to come down on you. I don't care if he's a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care about that mess. I care that God's people get real. Amen. There's only one reason it's all getting crazy. Because we've been sitting down. God's in our country. It's his people aren't doing anything. Let's be honest. If you've never shared the gospel, I'm going to be this honest. You are part of the problem. If you've never helped a soul come down and receive Jesus, you are part of the problem. I don't care how many hymns you've listened to. I don't care how much stuff you know. I don't care if you can speak Hebrew words to me. Because I can speak them back to you. Whoop-a-dee-doo. People don't get changed by Hebrew words. They get changed by a bloody cross, an empty tomb, and an absolute Jesus. So come on. Let's pray. Y'all ready to have an altar? I'm going to pray for Mount Sterling. Devil ain't going to have Mount Sterling. Amen? So that means people that are doing drugs here, they're going to get off of them. Y'all cool with that? In fact, guess what, officer? I think the church ought to make your job easy. I'll be glad when y'all can act like Andy Griffith. Or Barney Fife, either one. Let's pray. Lord, we're sorry. First of all, we just want to say we're sorry. I'm sorry. Jesus, you've given us all this power, all this grace, all this mercy. And I apologize, God, when my life has not lived up to your forgiveness. Lord, help us as believers to become great sharers. Lord, we are so sorry that we have protested, we have complained, we have grumbled, we have begged, we have asked, we have overindulged ourselves in so many things. But we haven't done what you ask us to do. Go tell the world. So Lord, I pray that we would have a revival when we go tell the world. Lord, I wish we would care about souls as much as we did a dog that can't even retrieve. May we care about people with such intensity that they can't miss Jesus. Okay, look at me. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, you feel that Holy Spirit right now. He's in this room. And you feel Him drawing you. You know what I mean? Girls, you feel Him drawing you. Guess what you got to say? Lord, here I am, whatever your name is, Kimberly, Joanna, whatever your name is, man, Gerard, Jimbo, whatever they call you. Lord, here I am. Forgive me. Guess what Jesus is saying? Yes. Yes. We have a yes, God. Don't ever forget that. Yes. Yes. Need to be baptized, I'd come be baptized. Some of you go, well, gosh, I'll make mine as a personal decision. Well, it's not that way in the Bible. Now, I know this ticks some of you off, but God doesn't care how you think, how you feel, or how you figure it. Neither does your wife. She's just nice to you. Guess what? God said, I have said it, and you must decide if you will receive it. I'd receive grace. And if you have, let's be obedient to baptism. Let's be obedient to fellowship. Let's be obedient to prayer. Let's be obedient to God's truth. Amen? So I have the beautiful moment right now. If you know God is saving you, He said yes to you, would you please come tell one of these pastors? Come tell the crew that'll be down here right now. If y'all would just come on, Pastor Grant, Pastor John, crew that helps out at the altar. We want to pray, Will. We want to pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this moment. If God needs you all to come to the altar, drop the instruments and come to the altar. That's more important than singing right now. In fact, some of the most powerful altars I've been in, we didn't have one song sung. Decision. Do you know that Jesus knows you? If God was to bring you forward on this stage, would He have any evidence of His salvation in your life? Some people can't share Jesus because they don't have anything to share. Because they didn't get saved. They just joined the church. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need you. Forgive me. Because what Jesus say? forgiven. Go and sin no more. The altar's open. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for people that don't know Jesus. Let's pray for each other. Please, tonight, I want to see if you want to have revival. You just go stand there and do the same thing we do Sunday after Sunday. Are you really going to come and say, God, move in our city, our church, my family? Come on, church. Thank you for coming. Let's pray.